You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Amin does a couple of great podcasts around here for Metalark Media, Le Batard and Friends Network. One of them is Cinephobe, and he does that with Zach Harper and Anthony Mays. And one is Basketball Illuminati, does this with Tom Haverstroh. It's creative in a space where a lot of people are talking about some of the same things in basketball. They are not. And one of the things that Tom has been doing for a long time now is covering the officiating, because it's like a fascinating, dirty underworld that, like, if everyone's competing for victory in the margins, the refereeing kind of is important. If all the games are close and these guys are competing in 50-point games, you can't have the disaster that you had last night where the competence of the players seems to be greater than the competence of the people officiating the players. Also, though, Amin, seems like an impossible game to officiate. Seems wholly impossible. Everyone's gotten too athletic. How do I stop him from scoring without fouling him? So, Tom Haverstroh, the latest thing that's happened here. Because, Amin, you tell me, have you seen in your career a lot of what's playing out publicly right now where the players are complaining this loudly about the credibility of their officiated product?
Yeah, I try to remain kind of present and not get caught up in now for two reasons. One is obviously the recency bias, that things that are happening now feel like they've happened more than ever before. But the other thing also is we are in an era where if someone complains about the refs, we're getting it instantly from all over the league at once. And so 20 years ago, guys would complain about refs, and you may have to wait till the next day to either read about it in the paper or watch it on SportsCenter. Now it's instantaneous. So again, are there more complaints than ever, or are we just hearing all the complaints? Tom, I'd open it up to you. What do you think?
What is the level of crisis here, Tom? Because you're the nation's authority on actually knowing how these referees are graded. You have expertise here.
Yeah, I just got a text from an executive who said the officiating has been embarrassing all season. That this is not an anomaly. What we saw last night, where Josh Hart is calling out the officials on a Jimmy Butler non-call. You had Luka Doncic, one of the biggest stars in the world. Like, he's doing a money sign, a money gesture at an official on national TV in a game. Mark Cuban is protesting or filing a protest on a game because of a botched call or miscommunication in the third quarter. And then you had an official who's been in the spotlight over the past couple of weeks because of the Fred VanVleet thing, the rant. That official had to admit to a blown call at the buzzer with two teams that are fighting for playoff position. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, we had Anthony Davis earlier this season saying the Lakers were getting cheated out of games because of the officiating, one of the biggest stars in the NBA. So this is not like what happened last night. To me, feels like an officiating Armageddon, where every game it seemed like things were going awry. But if you talk to executives and players and coaches, like, this has been going on all season, and they're the trust that these players and teams and coaches and executives have with officiating, I think it's as low as it's been since I've been covering the league.
Before we get to this Jason Kidd sound, can I just give you this Mark Cuban quote on Twitter? For those wondering about the play with 1:54 to go on the third, let me explain what happened. The ref called Mavs ball. The announcer announced it. Then there was a timeout. During the timeout, the official changed the call and never told us. Then when they saw us line up as if it were our ball, he just gave the ball to the Warriors. Never said a word to us. They got an easy basketball. He meant basket. Crazy that it would matter in a two-point game. Worst officiating non-call mistake possibly in the history of the NBA. All they had to do was tell us, and they didn't.
You know, the weird thing is, and Tom, maybe you can tell me this, if they thought it was their ball, why wasn't there anyone near the ref, near the ball at the inbound spot? Why would they think at the in the, because it's a third quarter, it's not like you would have moved up the court. Why would they?
So I think what's interesting, and let's hear this. I like what Jason Kidd said after the game. I think that's interesting. We gotta hear that.
It wasn't really explained. I think there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people were out of position. So, it, you know, when you look at the court was split, we're on one side and the Warriors on another, and you have a referee on the baseline. Mike was on the baseline, so I would assume Mike thought it was our ball too. So, you know, to explain to Mike or ask Mike, like, if there's confusion, it's easy to just come in and blow the whistle and get us restarted. Because it was confusion, understanding that we thought it was our ball. The referee pointed towards our bench, but that was the signal of the timeout. And so, but there was confusion on the play before it even started with whose ball it was, because he pointed, I thought, to us first, and then he changed it and then went to a timeout and pointed to us. So as I asked Mike, I said, Mike, why are you down the floor if you don't think, if it's not our ball? And so. There was quite a few people out of position on that play. It's easy. It's correctable. But you first have to admit there was a mistake.
Tom, can we just examine? I mean, if we can examine the particulars of this, or we can examine the idea that these players are now getting to such a level of perfectionism and where they've extended the sport that they're asking referees to be as good at their jobs as they are at their jobs. And it's just a disconnect that the referees aren't going to be that competent.
Well, I think an aspect of this that's looming over all of this is a few months ago, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, the NBA Players Association, the NBA, and the NBA Referees Association had a joint statement where it looked like they were aligned and they were going to be far more punitive to anybody that has rebellious acts on the courts towards officiating. And it seems as though on the heels of that, maybe everybody was playing nice for a little bit, but now we're all coming to a head. And that statement seems ridiculous because we've never had this kind of open insubordination of officiating.
That's happened before, Mike. Like a few years ago, I remember there was a meeting, like a clandestine meeting where between the players and the referee union, and they were meeting, I think, at All-Star break in LA. I don't know if me and you remember this. Mm-hmm. And it was essentially like, all right, We butted heads all season, but we're going to get back into it, and we're going to be nicer to each other, and everything's fine. We do this all the time. Like, we have these statements, public statements, about how everything's been reconciled and we're going to be more professional, but it unravels. The trust between the players and the officiating clearly is at an impasse. I mean, we don't have Fred VanVleet eating that fine, $30,000, and then other players pointing to that fine and saying, like, listen to Fred VanVleet. I'm not going to speak on it, but listen to Fred VanVleet. We're not even at the playoffs. So it's this bad, Mike, and we haven't reached the playoffs where things get heightened to an extreme. So look, this Dallas Mavericks play, it's a clear misunderstanding, a clear communication breakdown. I don't think Mark Cuban's going to win this one. There hasn't been a protest that has been accepted by the league since 2008, I believe. But he's right. Jason Kidd is right. An official was on the Dallas side of the floor. Yeah. While the other official is inbounding it, a clear miscommunication among the officials, right? And so I think what players are saying is, if you guys can't even get on the same page, then how are we supposed to be on the same page? Communication, trust, all of it seems to be very damaged now across the league.
Yeah, communication issues on multiple fronts, right? Because not just among the officials, but the chief complaint, and Jason Kidd mentioned it, and so have other Mavericks players, is the mistake was made, and then no one talks to them. They just have their chin up and no one explains anything. And it feels like they're totally robbed of something with zero explanation.
But isn't it just pool reporting, Tom? Isn't they go back to some closet somewhere in the arena and then one reporter is sent over to ask four questions? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, there's a pool reporter that's assigned for every NBA game. As I understand it, this is the current rule, is that they have to submit the questions beforehand to the league that is given to the crew chief, not the referee in question. Like Andy Nagy, who was the referee that inbounded the ball to the Golden State Warriors and made the call for the Golden State Warriors, he did not answer those questions. It was the crew chief, which, by the way, if you're one of the top 75 officials in the NBA and you're an NBA official, I think we should be able to answer those questions. Explain it yourself. I don't know why we're protecting these lower level officials from speaking in their minds or explaining the call. We don't have to have the crew chief explaining it. Anyway, the point is, there's no press conference after the game. They don't open questions to the three officials. It's like one or two questions to the crew chief. In this case, it was Sean Wright. And when Jason Kidd is talking there about Mike, he's talking about one of the officials, the second in the totem pole. The second official is actually Michael Smith. He was the one on the Dallas side. He did not answer questions after the game. It was Sean Wright. It was not Andy Nagy who was the one inbounding it. And to me, I just feel like the credibility there's a gap when between players and officials. Is like Anthony Davis said a few months ago, I think officials should be fined. I think when they botch calls or when they blow calls, they should be fined, punished by the league. And I feel like they are asking for more transparency, more accountability. And I think when you have crew chiefs speaking for other officials in one or two part questions, I feel like there's more we can do to increase the credibility, increase the transparency.
By the way, Mark Cuban texted the same thing to our Matt Sullivan, the play, and say even one of the refs was missing and thought it was our ball. So that is something, I guess, a speaking point for Dallas. But Tom, referees are reprimanded, right? It's just not out in the open. But there is a structure there by which the league either rewards or punishes their referees.
Yeah, but they don't publicize that, right? Remember, Tony Brothers earlier this season in November, there was an incident in which he was he referred to Spencer Dinwiddie, allegedly to a teammate, as a BAMF. And it's not a bad AMF. It's the other one. And Mark Stein, he reported that there was a punishment to Tony Brothers.
I don't like bad MAF. I don't like any of that.
It's not bad AMF.
I don't know. I don't. And whatever that was, I don't like any of that.
You don't know.
No, just let it fly.
All right. Ass motherfucker.
Yes, Tony Brothers called Spencer Dinwiddie, then with the Dallas Mavericks, a ass mother, allegedly to a teammate. And Spencer Dinwiddie after the game was like, hold up. We can't let this happen. If Scott, he didn't take issue of Tony Brothers calling him that. He took issue with Tony Brothers calling him that to his teammate. He's like, hey, if you feel that way, tell me. Come to me and say that to my face. And so after that happened, Mark Stein reported, who's based in Dallas, one of the best reporters in the business, that Tony Brothers had been, I think the phrasing was he missed a game, that he was suspended a game, but he missed like 5 days in between assignments. That's as far as we got. The NBA didn't comment on it. We did not get any official punishment about Tony Brothers, if there was punishment. And so all this stuff is just shadowy, kind of in the dark. We don't really know, whispers about referees being punished by the league. And so I think players are just asking, like, there's 13 people on the court that have direct influence on the game. The players, 10 of those, can be fined publicly. We know their salaries and all that. But the three others, the officials, are hidden from any sort of public reprimand on the punishment of, you know, the discipline or anything like that.
Tom, behind you, over your right shoulder, there's a light switch panel with four light switches on it. That is way too many lights, like switches, for one panel. I need to know. You don't know what all those light switches do.
Of course he does.
No idea.
Admit it.
I honestly get it wrong every time I walk in the room. I have not gotten good at this. I say, okay, the correct one to light up this light up above me is the one second from the left. And in my head, I'm saying the second one from the left is the wrong one. Don't push that one. That's how my brain works.
Two switches. I haven't gotten it right. Two switches is a max for me on one panel.
Really?
That's it. I don't need more. It's just too confusing.
No, man. I don't like this. Control panel. You ever seen ones with the touch screen where you hit all different buttons?
Haberstroh, thank you for being on with us. I appreciate the insight.
Two guys here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime, to me, we love to travel, and I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. SimpliSafe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Don Levitard.
Enough with the DJ Khaled collaborations with people that are hot right now.
Yeah.
We want to see DJ Khaled work with some of the great singers of yesteryear. Can you imagine how great it would be if DJ Khaled started bringing out special guests onto the stage, and one of them was Bryan Adams? Yeah. Everyone, it's Liza Minnelli. Oh.
Stugatz.
Barbra Streisand. Yeah. Elton John, it's your song. Andrea Bocelli. Another one. Tony Bennett. Frankie Avalon. Thomas Dolby is blinding you with science.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Is your bracket busted? Then State Farm's here to help with their second chance bracket. Play free during round of 16 for a second chance at a share of the cash. Check it out today at DraftKings.com/State Farm.
I have to segue here because Ariel Helwani has arrived. And
Light switches does he have in his room?
I have really disappointed Candles. Ariel Helwani, and he wants to get on here as a matter of emergency. He wants to get on here because he's so disappointed in me and our company. Thank you, Tom. We'll get to this Ariel Helwani story in a second. And
congrats to Ariel about his basketball gig. Congratulations.
Yes, Ariel Helwani tried to make himself an NBA guy at ESPN. They held him back, and now he's broken free, and he's going to do whatever the hell he wants, wherever he wants to do it. But he's disappointed. Do you guys know why he's disappointed?
I can guess.
You want to? Because he thinks
David Sampson related.
Yeah, Metalark Media has hired.
I thought it was Joe Rogan's comments on Jorge Masvidal.
What has you disappointed, Ariel? Joe Rogan does say that Masvidal could have fought in the era of St. Pierre, even though he did and lost. It was a very strange thing for Joe Rogan to say. But that's not what you want to talk about today. Go ahead. Let us have it. Let me have it. Give your opinion.
It's like my head is hurting here, guys. I'm really distraught. If I'm being honest, there I am. You know, I've got a busy day ahead of me with, you know, Tom just mentioned new basketball show, Showtime Sports. I mean, could have done it for Metalark Media, but of course, Skipper didn't put enough zeros. It was a weird thing, the whole thing went down. But anyway, I'm scrolling through Twitter, I'm scrolling through Instagram, and I see this like statement. And it looked like, first I was like, did one of my kids like notepads get on my Instagram? Like, what is this? What is this? Like, what is this font? What is going on here? What are we doing? Like, what is this? Like, is this like a ransom note? What are we doing here? So I start reading, and then I see, I'm like, I surely don't follow this guy. So I don't even know why it's on my feed. So I took a screen grab of it. Then I blocked the account because I didn't want it, you know, poisoning my feed. So I took a screen grab. Then I sat down, digested it. And, you know, I'll be honest, guys, you know, I don't work for Metalark. I consider you an extended part of my family, you know, like I feel like we're, you know, I always walk by the Clevelander when I'm there, you know, with my family on South Beach. I never tell you guys that I'm there. I don't want to actually go into the studio, but I feel some sort of like kinship.
You never come in, but I.
No, I can't be bothered. You know, it goes back to the whole, you know, Skipper thing from a year and a half or so ago, but listen.
Not enough zeros,
Yeah, I mean, when I was, you know, trying to get to ESPN, Skipper was in charge. He wouldn't even sneeze in my face, for goodness sakes. Now, all of a sudden, like, you know, we're having phone calls. But the point is, I see this note that my good friend, a dear friend, dare I say a mentor, and dare I say in many respects like a soulmate and a confidant, my good friend Dan Levitard, has made a rare misstep. Because it's as the kids say, it's been W's left and right for Levitard. I mean, dating back to the Herald days, it's been W's left and right.
It's a deal with the devil we need help.
I'm not done. Okay, and then I see
he's still got more to this preamble.
And my boy Cook.
He has hired the biggest cancer in the history of sports, the man who, along with, I don't know if it was his. I don't know if it's his father-in-law, his stepfather, his cousin. I don't even know what their relationship. Are they even friends? Do they even talk anymore? I don't know. Don't care.
I don't think they do.
Along with this guy, Jeffrey. I mean, who above the age of 14 calls himself Jeffrey? I've only met one person. It's this man. In any event, they went to my beautiful city. They went into my beautiful province. They took the collective heart, the collective soul of my city.
Montreal.
And they freaking ripped it out and they stomped it on the ground. Not only did they stomp on it, they spat on it and they peed all over it. And then what they did was they went to the beautiful city known as Miami, South Beach, the 305, and they did the exact same. And then I find out that my good friend Dan Le Batard has now hired this guy.
Not only this, this is how desperate Metal Arc is, Ariel. We're hiring him today over much booing here. He not only ruined your fandom of the Montreal Expos, he also ruined the fandom of Mike Ryan. Imagine how Mike Ryan feels.
I can't even imagine. How Mike Ryan is still doing the show right now.
How is Mike Ryan doing the show?
Oh, would he quit?
In protest.
No, there's that.
You should quit.
Yeah.
You should put an ultimatum right now on the table. It's either him or me. And I mean, could you imagine if Le Batard actually chooses him? I mean, what that would be the second misstep of the day. I can't believe you, such a smart guy, Dan Le Batard, would make a move like this. This has to be a Skipper move. I mean, that's the only explanation that I have.
I'm sorry that Skipper insulted you. I don't have a lot of greater regrets than you not already working for us.
Thank God. By the way, Dan, you know what's the second thing I did? I did the Hail Mary. I said, thank God I'd be teammates with David Sampson right now. I'd be disowned from the 514. They would not let me across the border if that guy was my colleague. And who could forget? I mean, who could forget? Mike, play the clip right now. 10-7 heel Wani, May of 2020.
He doesn't have the
darkness of the pandemic.
Wait a minute.
When I loaded up. Laid
wait a minute.
Smack down wait on a minute. His candy ass. Remember
on,
that?
Hold on. This is the thing, though.
He
this
scored
is,
it.
Sampson's argued with everyone around here. You scored it 10-7. You
killed him.
People really didn't like it as content. People
loved it.
No, they did not like it as content because
they're building a statue in my honor as a result of that debate in the heart of Montreal. It was one of the great beatdowns in the history of beatdowns. Who didn't like it? Your loser fan base, the five people on Reddit, who didn't like it?
I will tell you that of all the people who have argued with Sampson here, I believe Billy Gill is said to have had the best sparring with him. Billy Gill did not get emotional and so it wasn't screaming. I think some of your message was critiqued because you wouldn't let Sampson talk.
I wouldn't let him talk. Oh, the poor baby. I wouldn't let him talk. No, you know what happened? He went toe-to-toe. He went one-on-one with an actual journalist. And so I called people. I called sources because I heard his little song and dance the previous week with Mike where he talked about, you remember when he said that Montreal wasn't very welcoming to the Jewish businessman who came in to steal our team and bring it to him? Remember? So then I started calling people around. How did that meeting go? What was the real story? And I came with the freaking facts. Okay, I came with the freaking facts, and he had no idea what to do. He was quivering, he was stumbling and mumbling, and now in retrospect he says, I didn't let him speak. Guess what, David? No one wants to hear your takes on how to run a baseball team. No, certainly I hear him and John, because I listen to everything you guys do. I hear them talking about like TV deals and stuff. David, how many TV deals have you brokered, all right? You were a cog in the wheel. Mr. Steinbrenner, you handle this for us, and we'll take whatever scraps that you can pass off to us. No one listened to you, and no one wants to listen to you on Metal Arc anymore. So, unfortunately, I have now unsubscribed from all
no,
the people.
No,
come on.
No,
on every social media.
No, we
I
have
want
to
nothing to do with
no,
you.
No, we have
nothing.
To repair this. No, this needs to be repaired.
Do a lot of good content.
No,
here,
you're
man.
Too valuable.
I want nothing to do with any – I haven't got to CBS Sports for the last – 5 or so years ever since he joined forces with them, because I can't see that face on my screen. I'm sorry.
What about Moco? What about Moco? No, Roy says you can run the rest of them off, but
talking about Matthew Coca,
you have to continue to appear with Renee Montgomery. You have
me?
Yes, you. I don't know.
I've never
it was
been
just,
on with Renee Montgomery.
It was just, he was just.
Keep listening. You can, you know, not listening. Listen to all of our stuff, but still listen
he's
to
just
all of
saying,
our stuff.
Okay, if you're
do mystery frame, we don't have enough heels on
no,
that
you
show.
No, listen, you guys only have me on when there's some kind of controversy when I'm all fired up. By the way, still number one video on the YouTube channel. I checked time and again.
Ariel,
no one touches me.
Ariel,
I mean, Hawani equals ratings.
Yeah, it's true. And I want
look
to
look at the triple C on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the triple C.
Doing curls?
I want to play for
him. You
noticed
that, huh?
Yeah.
I want to play for him some Covington sound because this is getting more and more absurd.
Oh, now we're doing this?
No, no.
I'm all fired up. Now you're going to get me in real trouble.
No, no, I don't. Yes, we are going to do this in a second. But before we do this, I do want, because you've been wanting to say all this for a long time. You've said it arguing with David Sampson. You are the last great defender anywhere in America. Montreal Expos got screwed. I loved baseball in that city. We were about to build something great, and it got stolen from us from David Sampson. So the floor is yours on the day of his big hiring, because we need some of his business acumen to make big deals in Hollywood so that Mike Ryan can go to John Wick premieres and make horror movies with the big Hollywood people. We need big business deals to be made. Go ahead and indict our big hire. What are the greatest...
Listen, he hasn't yet?
What are the greatest criticisms you have? No, he's just getting started. He's got passion for 30 years on this guy.
Oh my... Listen, I'm calling Andrew Marchand right now and I'm breaking the news to him. Apparently, the situation is quite dire at Metalark. If they have to tag this guy who has had no success in business, who was riding the coattails of his art dealer, father-in-law, stepfather, brother, cousin, I don't know what he was. I don't even think they're still friends. And this is the guy that we have now tapped to Dan, if you needed help, you could have just asked me. And we've been chatting. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a second, what's going on here?
No, you said more zeros.
Yeah. I mean, we're bringing in this guy. We're bringing in this guy who's like, I mean, what would the equivalent be here? Like, this would be like bringing in a 1980s jobber wrestler to main event WrestleMania. Okay, think a little highly of yourself.
We cheapen ourselves. We cheapen ourselves with Sampson.
Cheapening. Let me ask you this, Dan. If you were still at the worldwide leader, would they approve of this hire? Absolutely not. They would have laughed in your face. They don't say we don't bring jobbers in to run the business. We don't bring, you know, fourth string quarterbacks to lead the dance. We don't do that. Who? I would love to know right here and now. Can we break kayfabe for a second? Who approved this? Was it Skipper? I mean, who could possibly have approved? Was it Skipper because he has him on the show with him? Like, what is going on here?
Do we need to get Skipper to give some answers here for why the hell we're hiring Sampson?
And also,
are you not aware that you're a co-founder of this company?
I prefer to blame Skipper.
By the way, how happy was CBS when you guys made it? They're like, thank God. Thank God we don't have to do this show anymore with this guy. Nothing personal. Wait to see. Okay. You know what's the funniest thing? When I click on the hashtag wait to see, and it's only him who uses that hashtag. You can't use a hashtag that no one else uses. Okay. Then it's not a real thing. I'm sorry, David. Maybe we could sit down over a cup of matzo ball soup and I can explain to you how social media works. No one's waiting to see. Nothing is being taken personal. No one cares about your take on anything. Leave us alone. Go freaking run, you know, the single A team in freaking Dunedin. All right. No one wants to hear your takes on anything. Go ruin those people's lives. All right. Don't ruin my favorite sports show here. Okay. I'm annoyed right now because that means I'm going to have to hear from this guy more. Enough. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Nothing personal. Good now job. Part of the Levitard and Friends broadcast.
Thank you.
Hey, Tom's been here the whole time.
Yeah, I thought David was coming. I thought David was coming. Hey,
you messed up the shot.
Tom, you messed up the shot.
Put another zero on there. And you know what? Because of this move, Skipper put four zeros on there, and I still won't look at you when you call me.
Oh, no.
Right?
I'm blocking your number two. No. Yeah, that's Jesus. This is not a great day. For the company. I don't know how
poor Pablo Torre. By the way, can we call Pablo right now on the phone? Pablo, you have made a huge mistake. You have made a massive mistake, Pablo. SOS. Pablo, if you're watching, if you're listening, go back. Call Jimmy Pitaro right now. Say it was a mistake. It was a fever dream. You don't want to team up with this guy. You made a mistake, Pablo. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a tremendous amount of success early on, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to trade your ass to freaking Bleacher Report, because that's all he does. You make a little money for him, you get a little success, and then he trades your ass on the first, you know, the first bus out of town, all right, Pablo? If you're watching, friend to friend, brother to brother, don't do it. This is a huge mistake, Pablo.
You know what's funny? Is I looked it up and hashtag wait to see. He's right. It sounds like such a common
of course
term.
I'm right.
That surely no,
wait,
more
to, wait to see is a lame hashtag.
What are we waiting to see, by the way?
Put it on the poll. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Wait to see. Lamest hashtag or the lamest hashtag of all time? I don't know.
Okay. I'm glad you gave him an opportunity to clarify, because I wasn't really clear on what he was going.
You don't even follow him? I mean, this is your colleague now. You don't follow him? I keep tabs on my enemies. Keep your enemies closer. That's what you got to do.
Nobody uses his hashtag.
Is there anybody, Ariel? Is there
Colby Covington calling out John Hannock?
We're going to do that in a second. But
no, no one cares.
Well, okay. Well, help me navigate a landscape that you know better than anybody else. Because it seems like the people were, it seems it's going to be Masvidal and Covington, and they're going to be louder than everybody else, and they're going to be pay-per-view studs, because that's how Conor McGregor did it. And Covington is just going to be maximum, you know, this seems like an act. All of it does. But before I get to it, because your heartbreak is real, texted me, and when he said, I'm heartbroken, I legitimately started looking through my phone to see if someone had died. I don't think there is anyone. Ariel, who do you dislike more than the person just hired?
Why are we still doing this with him? Can we just...
No, this is great. Why are you getting uncomfortable, Mike? I thrive in these situations. This is like.
I think we're all clear where you stand on David. I don't know if we need to give him another opportunity.
You know what? Now that you mention this, I have to pick a little fight here with Mr. Mike Ryan, because Mike Ryan plays both sides. He comes on and he tells me, "Oh, I want you on the pod to do this and that," and then he texts me afterwards, "Great stuff. You really gave it to him. Yeah, good job." Then I hear them the following week, and he's like. Boy, that Ariel, he got a little too personal. Huh? He got a little too emotional. Which is it, Mike? Clearly, you're Team Samson, and that's okay. I got enough allies over there.
So's Amin. So's Amin.
Shout out, Tony.
Amin's Team Samson, too.
Yeah, let's not get started on Amin. We all remember the tweet back in 2017 when he, you know, Mayweather McGregor. I don't forget.
I still can't find it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Spider-Man one.
I hold grudges better than anyone on the planet, okay? I never forget any of this. And so that's why I feel so personally attacked here by Dan, because I remember all the great things Dan has done for me, and all of a sudden it feels like a freaking knife in the back.
It's not personal attack. No, I need to get more of those zeros for
you. Nothing personal?
We need help getting more zeros. Thank you,
Colby Covington,
for all your thoughts on that matter. Let's play the Covington sound, Mike,
let me just get my blanket and my pillow so I can take a nap here for
Ariel,
a moment.
He's getting a lot of title fights. He's getting treated he's Conor McGregor. Like, he's going right to the front of the line because he does things like this. What's the context?
Courtesy of MMAfighting.com. He comes after one of the more popular characters in the world of fighting, John Anik.
So you wanted to lick my freaking balls in London. Oh, Colby. But then you want to go back behind the stage and cheerlead for a racist. So he associates with racism and Bilal Muhammad. And, you know, John Anik, dude, I don't want your kids to grow up without a dad. Just realize you live in Boca. I live in Miami, motherfucker. You're not too far from me. So you better shut your mouth. You poke the bear, now you get the bear comes after you.
I don't think that's how that scene goes.
You poke the bear, now you get the bears coming after you? How many bears are coming after him? listen. Colby Covington is a showman. He's a pro wrestler. He plays a character. He's not going to do anything to John Anik. That being said, it is a bit of a weird look to try to pick a fight with a broadcaster, because there's no payoff, right? In the world of pro wrestling, you pick a fight with someone that you're actually going to fight, right? So there's no payoff here. It's just sort of unimaginative. Look, here's the thing. Colby Covington has not been seen or heard from for a year. He is a very popular fighter, especially with a certain sector of society. I'm sure you could guess which one that is. He came back last week to be the backup fighter for the main event in London, Leon Edwards versus Kamaru Usman. I think he thought that the world would be throwing a parade because he was back. Oh, he's back. Chaos is back with his fake jewelry and his cars that he doesn't own and the women who are not, you know, in any type of relation with him that he just pays to be in his video. Oh my God, everyone's so excited. And what happened was no one was really excited. And I think what we were seeing here over the last few days when he did this media tour was a guy who was being like, holy smokes, let me grasp at something here to try to make some headlines, to try to make some news, because I need to get people excited about me coming back. Does he deserve a title shot? I think it's a tough sell. He's 0-2 in title shots. He has, you know, one win since his last title loss, and he hasn't fought in a year, and there are other people who have been active and are more deserving of a title shot, namely Bilal Muhammad, Gilbert Burns, who's fighting in Miami on April 8th, et cetera, et cetera. So what he's trying to do is get us talking about him, so all of a sudden it leads to this quote-unquote money fight. But here's the difference, Dan. There's a young man out of Birmingham, England, named Leon Edwards, who has been crapped on for the last 3-4 years, and all of a sudden he's the king of the mountain. He's the everyman, and he's saying to the UFC, no. I get a say. I get to choose. I get to pick because I'm the champion. And so we're about to see who's going to win out here. The UFC with Colby or Leon, who says, no, I want to see how April 8th plays out. And I want a rightful guy to fight me next for the belt. So it's a fascinating time. This is why we love the sport. I have no beef with Colby. He has earned his stripes in the game. But this stuff with Anik, to me, is just like, this doesn't make me want to watch you more. You're picking a fight with a broadcaster? Like, what is that? That's X-Pac heat. That's not the good kind of heat. You want the good kind of heat. This is change the channel heat. There's a difference. See, this I'll explain to you. I got Roman Reigns heat. Samson has X-Pac heat. You get what I'm trying to say? Samson has changed the channel's heat. I have, you know, prime time, 8 million ratings, views. Just look at your YouTube channel for further.
I think content. Samson's got Roman heat, man.
Samson's got Roman heat. Samson can wrestle, could main event WrestleMania? Are you kidding me? Samson's main event, you know, Samson's jerking the curtain for Ooh. Sunday night heat the night before WrestleMania, if you get what I'm saying, all right? Not even close. Shout out to Sunday Night Heat. Great program back in the day.
Ariel, Ariel, what's up, bro? Listen, can you...
Tony, my guy, 305, my brother, what's go. Happening?
Can you tell the guys how big this trilogy was that Leon Edwards beat Kamaru Usman? Like, we've talked about it on the show, but like, can you give it the gravity it deserves?
Oh, this was gigantic. They fought once in 2015 when they were both prelim fighters, and they fought again in August of 2020 in Salt Lake City for some bizarre reason. And it's one of the greatest finishes in the history of the UFC. Here's Leon. Dan, you would love this guy because he is truly the everyman. He's from Jamaica. His mom had him when she was a teen. He grew up essentially without a father. His father was involved in a lot of drug gang stuff. He was murdered. And this quiet, somewhat like self-conscious, unassuming young fighter who everyone crapped on, who no one wanted to give a chance to, who everyone said, no, let's give it to this loud guy. Let's give it to that guy. He just worked his way up, put on his hard hat, lunch pail, and he finally got his moment. The equivalent of like a 50-point shot, the equivalent of like a 3-touchdown Hail Mary. And now he's the king of the mountain. And then they go to London with him as champion and he beats Kamaru in the trilogy. And now he holds all the cards and it's beautiful. And by the way, you guys should go. I remember, Dan, when you used to go to UFC events, didn't they have you out there April 8th at, what is it now? Is it the Crypto Arena? Is it the 3TX Arena? Is
MDA it now, it's the Miami-Dade Arena.
I mean, what a sad sack arena this is. I mean, a pathetic situation
right,
over
that's
there with
enough.
That arena.
All right,
April 8th
that's enough.
In Miami.
Enough.
I'll be
UFC
there.
That's cheap heat coming after a hometown. That is cheap heat.
All right, come back here. We'll have you in studio.
Is he going to show up?
He's not coming down.
I'm going to walk by the Clevelander. I'm going to go a little bit of this, and then I'm going to take a picture and walk away, all right?
See you later. Thank you for stopping by. Tell the people where they can find all your stuff. You're all over the
Everywhere.
Place.
Everywhere. I'm taking over the world, and guess okay. where you won't
Let's
see
get
me?
Get them out of here.
Okay. Metalark Media, all right? All right.
See
mean
you
I
later.
Heard that. Say that to my face next time, all right? I'll see you at Summer League when I take over basketball, too, all right?
Goodbye.
Oh, snap.
Goodbye.
He growled. He growled on his way.
Just join Moco. Whatever you
do. He just growled on his way.
What a selfish act by Roy. A staggeringly selfish act.
Roy is an antelope.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Don Lebatard.
Who is the comedian? Is it James Mulvaney? How do you pronounce his...
John Mulaney?
There you go. Thank you. John Mulaney.
$2, yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad fine. Wow. Everybody started shaking their head.
I mean, he's arguably the most popular comedian right now. James Mulvaney.
Stugatz.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is John Mulvaney the most popular columnist at Lebatard?
Oh, my God.
Show?
Comedian, Dan. Jesus, get it together.
Excuse me. Comedian. My bad.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Sedano's turned, right? Are you done? Tony, you got to be embarrassed. Sedano has gone full Hollywood in a way.
Una pena, Dan.
Except Mike.
Que no te puedo decir.
No, but Mike wants to join him. Mike wants
that,
to join
I can't even look at Mike after that.
Dude, I love L.A.
Sorry.
You love it.
I love it. I love L.A.
Do they have beaches? Oh, they have beaches. Yeah.
They have beaches.
They have beaches, but you just look at
Do
them.
Do they have traffic?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't actually
yeah, they got traffic, too.
They got traffic.
It's not as bad as ours.
Hispanic?
It's not as bad as ours anymore. It is not as bad as ours anymore.
I mean, it's pretty bad.
Sedano traded most of his Cuban for Hollywood kale smoothies, correct?
Yeah, and I see him, and I think I want to be him. I'm drawn to this.
Manhattan Beach was really nice, though, when he took us there.
I'm going back for a full week. I can't get enough. I'm packing my finest, brightest suits.
How many of those do you have? Because it's a bold choice. The red, I don't think anybody, put it on the poll.
Tomato red suits? Just two.
Men, do you have a red suit? Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show.
Also put it on the poll. are you the most dangerous record label in the world? If you do.
Why do you want to say it?
Let's update the poll here. Update the tournament, because we haven't done that yet today. March Sadness is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. And it's not even an update. What we're doing is previewing the matchups. Mike Ryan is very excited. I don't know. You have snorted sports. Valerie asked me the other day, like, is there more sports? Because I was watching the World Baseball Classic. And it seems like there are more things I care about. I'm being offered a lot. And Miami being good at basketball, while the Panthers are playing for a playoff spot. And
Stugatz told you we have a March.
And you don't have the fan width for Heat basketball until the last 10 games.
We got WrestleMania. We got UFC coming into Miami. Not only do we have a March, fellas, we got an April.
What?
Do we really?
April. We've had a March. We're having an April, man.
All right. Well, there are games in April, but these are the matchups. Let's go through the East region now. So this is who's remaining in the tournament. Chris Cody, it was a lot of work. You and Billy did a lot. Juju did a lot here. You feel like it was well-received, that the tournament has been well-received? Because you guys were really scrambling at the end.
Well, we had to scramble this year because we didn't have Kirkchen on as much. So when Kirkchen's not on as much, it's on us more. Because usually we can just, whatever we laugh at the most, those are the high seeds. This year, it's just kind of us having to take a bunch of them and seed them. I feel like we did all right. I feel like we got some good teams left.
I think one of the updates, okay, I think we should update some of this for Kirkchen. His laughter is missed around here. Regardless, let's do the East region. Michigan State, a 7 seed. Somehow, Tom Izzo was a failure of a seed. Season. It wasn't a very good season, but Izzo's always in the Sweet 16, so that means this is.
Brooks Koepka look like the extent of his Spanish is me gusta chicas.
He does look like that. That is facing number 3, Kansas State. Kansas State is represented. I think Kansas State is one of the weaker ones.
Chris Whittingham looks like his favorite dinosaur is the thesaurus.
I'm so done with Whittingham and this victory lap he's taking. Everybody's syruping this outpouring, because what's he doing?
I saw he was at the Heat game next to Maluma last night, and I was like, what is this work-life balance all of a sudden?
Yeah, this is, and he's just enjoying all of this annoying applause that he keeps getting for being here again 6 minutes. Number 4, Tennessee. Tennessee is repped by?
Dan Campbell looks like a retired professional wrestler now running for office and running on a platform promising to body slam Texas.
That's facing FAU. Oh, we somehow snuck right past another thing we talked about and did not do.
Yep.
We're not big enough as a show, America's biggest sports podcast, not big enough to get Chris Cody to spend any time with Johnny Come Lately, FAU Come Lately over here. They're good at basketball. You were going to get on their bench. You were going to get in their band, and all you are is just sitting here across from me.
It was a big ask of us.
Oh,
was
it?
I love us.
Can we be on your bench?
I love us. The biggest game, not of this season, not of this tournament, in school history, in maybe any sport. That's probably not true. They probably had success in some smaller
Lane
sports.
Train.
It's as big a game in school history, and we're just like, hey, can we come do jazz hands around your game?
Why'd the coach say yes?
Because he's just doing a thing.
Because he's a liar, like all the other people in this business. Right, fits
basketball.
Right in with
he'll be at Notre Dame in 2 weeks.
That vampire Patino, that's right. He's renting. He's at the Blue Martini now. Talking about, I don't even know what my bonuses are, but wait till he asks for Rick Barnes money. FAU repped by?
Andrew Luck looks like he switched from coffee to a mushroom-based tea, and it absolutely changed his life for the better.
Rick Barnes is a level of affluence. Like Rick Barnes money.
I mean, he makes 500 grand now, and Rick Barnes is making $5 million a year. You think he's going to be at FAU very much longer? That liar. He told us.
Are we rooting against FAU
yes,
now?
Yes, I'm on. Against FAU. I'm not rooting for Tennessee. I've turned on the Owls. Man, the Cody family's royalty over there. Don't treat them like they're nobodies.
You know what?
Your Dusty May Come Lately.
Should have known. They're foul Owls on the prowl.
Cody's have been here for years.
Having affairs right on the campus.
Affairs on campus? Man, Greg Cody was cheating 50 years before you were cheating on that campus to get your players.
So was Lurleen.
The family of Codys, of Wild Bill Cody, just a bunch of cheaters. Long before you went Chris? There and cashed in on the cheating. We don't even know if Greg is Chris's real father. We don't know this.
No, I have the same hands as him.
And feet, apparently.
And also when we shaved them.
I don't know.
At All-Star
Weekend.
We've done
this before, but let me see your belly button.
Not right now.
Chris Cody.
You gotta pay for that.
He's got a weird one.
Subscribe to my Instagram if you want to see that.
Really?
I do, and I'm a little disappointed at the lack of content.
It's a slow build.
Dude,
it's
I'm slow paying build. Twice the price for a Mike Ryan Ruiz super follow.
Cheaper than an expensive cup of coffee, you can get my monthly, a lot of extra content, a lot of Greg Cody stuff. Look,
two pieces of content a week for twice the price.
This is terrible nepotism.
There's two coming like later in the week.
I've seen what's happened here. Look, this... This is unbelievable. As MetalArk Media,
that water bill is getting paid is what's happening here.
MetalArk Media is trying to grow. There are 50 employees here. Mike wants to get to Hollywood.
You pay that once every 3 months and it's 50
no,
bucks.
It's embarrassing. No,
he's putting his faucets on all over the house.
Listen,
his wife is like, hold on. His wife is like, honey, what are you doing? Don't worry. Instagram's got us.
This is personally offensive to me. What we broke into Freedom from ESPN and some of you grabbed very quickly. Oh, Cameo money. Yes.
I'm still on Cameo.
And then you forgot
never,
to go.
I would
Cameo.com/DarthAmin.
I would never lower myself and to then, that. And then, super follow Mike Ryan Ruiz.
No, and then, Michael no, but Ryan this is how Ruiz. It grew. The greed grew in a way that makes me uncomfortable, is embarrassing, and it happens out in public, but it's a benefit of Freedom. And it got to the point on Cameo, Stu Gotch just doesn't do them anymore. Not worth whatever hundreds of dollars he's getting there every time he does one. Leaves them without doing them. Too busy. Stu Gotch can't be here today. Like, that's just, it's just Stu Gotch. But Mike Ryan then tries a more honorable path as Twitter falls apart. I'm going to give people exclusive information. I'm going to work at this in the shadows when I don't have time. And Chris Cody, son of nepotism.
I work hard.
Chris Cody, Greg Cody's
just
son.
Just not at the Instagram.
I'm giving the
people. All you got to do is give people your dad falling drunk in the bushes from that garage one time, and you will have given them the value.
That's what I'm saying. That's the stuff I give. I'm giving them. You life stuff.
But
I'm
you
not.
Haven't you given haven't it. Given me anything.
It was a pick of a refrigerator.
I saw your refrigerator. And that was it.
You're not subscribed to me, Tony. You don't know what I'd be giving away.
I know the
I'm
game.
I'm subscribed.
I know. Mike is subscribed.
I hear from Mike.
Chris
you got
Cody
to see my refrigerator.
Lazy.
You got to see my dad's garage. You get to see... What did I do?
No, time? Here's the great secret. The great secret is the Codys aren't that interesting, and he can only go to his dad so much. We've propped him up for as long as we can. There's not that much there.
I subscribed to it because I wanted to support Chris. He super follows me. I want to pay it forward, but I want something for it.
Give him $5 a month cash.
I'm not getting enough.
Don't lie to the people. It's good stuff I'm giving.
Greg.
Away. Chris Cody on Instagram.
Do more.
And cheaper than an expensive cup of coffee.
Greg and you could do a legitimately fun and funny father-son show.
We do it on the Greg Cody show.
You weren't lazy.
Both of you.
He works hard. Just not at Instagram.
It is something when I signed up for. I'm like, I'm going to give people something every day. And then it's like, oh, crap, I haven't done that in 4 days.
You haven't done shit.
It's a lot. I got a lot of stuff going on.
Let me explain something to you, man. Child of nepotism.
I just read the
tour card.
Let me explain to you, as Jeremy Taché tries to find a lane here and does Nickelback in private. You everybody's fighting for the content now.
I've done that.
Everybody's fighting for the content dollar.
I did a Drake Ryan Tannehill parody when Jeremy was in diapers.
Can we find that?
It's really bad.
I want more information. I want to hear. I now want to go through our substantive library because Jeremy's a theater major and you are not. And
yeah, he's a theater
kid in high school.
Theater kid in high school.
Yo, and also, by the way, Chris Cody, enough with your TikToks. Somehow my algorithm picked up.
Those things crush on
social
media.
Oh my God. I'm
talking about those real views.
Oh my God. Get these out of my algorithm.
I love, you need to skyrocket as a social media phenomenon, just being maximum lazy.
I used to
think you had potential. Maybe our best since Marino. Thought you had potential. Maybe our best since Marino. 4 years and no playoff berth. First round pick you were not worth.
Hey.
4 years and no playoff berth.
None.
First round pick you were not worth. Struggle with the deep ball. You are lucky that Mike Sherman never found out. Probably shouldn't draft a college wide out. You be throwing picks, you got me stressed out. Struggle with the deep ball, you get so many mother safeties. Your thumbs look like toes, and that is crazy. Looks like another decade of irrelevancy. I used to think you had potential. Maybe our best since Marino. Thought you had potential.
Please stop.
Maybe our best since Marino. 4 years and no playoff berth.
Oh, wow. It doesn't end.
First round pick you were not worth.
Banger. Someday, Jeremy.
How horrified were your insides listening to that?
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.